The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
Let's talk about this new report from the College of Psychiatrists of Ireland that has warned that cannabis represents the gravest threat to the mental health of young people in Ireland today. The report found 45,000 15 to 34-year-olds in this country now meet the criteria for cannabis dependence. So where does this leave the campaign to legalise and regulate cannabis in this country? I'm joined now by Blind Boy Boat Club, the author and podcaster. Blind Boy, you're very welcome to the programme. I was a little bit surprised by the story when I read it on the front page of the Irish Times today. Can I ask you, maybe an obvious question to start, what was your reaction when you read it?
So the first thing I'd say about the whole thing, I am cautious about the story and the headline because it's very sexy from a media point of view. You understand that? Like, I would say the biggest threat to mental health in this country is lack of access to services, the housing crisis, the rent crisis. That, for me, as someone who speaks about mental health on my podcast and who gets contacted by quite a lot of people, when you start saying cannabis is the thing to focus on, it distracts a lot from huge structural issues such as lack of access to mental health services. And I can say that myself as someone who has tried to access mental health services. Secondly, I'm not pro cannabis, so I'm not speaking to you here to argue for the use of cannabis. I don't believe in telling adults or suggesting to adults what to do. If adults want to use cannabis or use any substance, that's their business, you know what I mean? So also, I don't want to speak about this report is specifically relating to the impact of cannabis on young people. People who are children and teenagers. Children and teenagers should not be using any substance at all. Simple as that. One thing that what interests me about it is the report itself does state that a concern to them, right, is that THC levels in cannabis have increased dramatically over recent years.
Yeah.
Now, that's what we need to look at. What I want to come on and speak about today is I want to argue against prohibition. A lot of the problems I see that is being created in this country around cannabis, these problems exist because of prohibition, right? So first off, the THC. So cannabis contains two chemicals, THC and CBD. Since about when I was a teenager in the early 2000s, there was no weed. It was hash, right?
Yeah.
And then hash suddenly disappeared. Now, I found out hash disappeared because of the US war on terror. A lot of hashish was coming from like Morocco and Afghanistan. And then the US found that some of this money was being used to fund jihadists. So they cracked down on that. So it created a huge drought for hash. Now, the thing with hash had a balance of THC and CBD. Now, THC is the chemical that makes you really high. And then CBD has been shown in studies to protect the brain. So cannabis in its natural state contains a balance of THC and CBD. But then after that, in the 2000s, when cannabis started to be grown in grow houses in Europe, in Ireland, and the thing is, these growers started making more and more potent cannabis that only contains really high levels of THC. So when you purchase cannabis illegally in Ireland or in any country where it's illegal, you don't have any choice. There's only one weed available in Ireland, and that's do you want it or not? And that weed contains really high THC. And really high THC weed. Some people can use it safely or enjoy it. Other people, it makes them paranoid and anxious, but you don't have choice. Now, I've been to countries where cannabis is completely legal recreationally. Like, my podcast tour of Canada in 2019 was sponsored by a cannabis company, and I went to legal dispensaries. And you go there and you say, I would like cannabis that makes me feel a little bit chilled out. I don't want to feel anxious. I don't want to feel paranoid. And you have expert bud tenders who have hundreds of varieties, and they explain to you, this one has this much THC, this one has this much CBD, this one contains these terpenes, it'll give you this effect. So you have this adult choice as a consumer, because the market is regulated, to purchase something that you know is, or that there's a better chance of it being safe and that suits you better. We don't have that in Ireland because prohibition has made it illegal. If alcohol was illegal, people wouldn't stop drinking alcohol. But what would happen is that the alcohol would be controlled by gangs And the only thing we'd be able to purchase would be really, really high strength poutine that's made in someone's garage and you don't know what's in it. And that would cause serious health impacts. Mm. Like that happened in the 1920s in America. People used to drink this, alcohol was illegal in America for part of the 1920s. So people used to drink this drink called Jake, Jamaican ginger, which was actually a medicine, but the medicine contained a certain amount of alcohol. So people would buy this, but they were ending up with serious diseases, that neurological diseases that affected how they walk, and people developed a thing called Jake leg. So prohibition there made alcohol a very dangerous thing to consume. So if you're anti-cannabis in Ireland, what you should realize is that if you're being anti-cannabis, you're anti-safe cannabis. Yeah. Cannabis as well also isn't ethical in Ireland. And this is one thing that I don't hear spoken about enough. In 2014, was it the Migrants Council, the Irish Migrant Centre in 2014? They were trying to draw attention to the fact that there's a huge amount of people who are trafficked into this country illegally. People who are essentially victims are imprisoned for growing cannabis in this country. And the Migrants' Rights Centre of Ireland drew this attention to this in 2014. They said that in 2014, people from China and Vietnam in Ireland make up 75% of the people who are sent to prison for large-scale cannabis cultivation. Now, the reason that is, gangs operate in this country and they traffic people into the country illegally. And they say to these people, I'll bring you to Ireland, I'm not going to charge you, but when you come to Ireland, you must work for us. Then that person finds themselves forced into a cannabis grow house, growing hundreds of thousands worth of weed, and they're essentially indentured servants. Then when the Gardaí come in, it's those people who are victims that end up being arrested. This means that not only is purchasing cannabis in Ireland unsafe because you don't know what you're getting, the THC levels, it's now completely unethical. Now, here's the other issue. How do you consume cannabis? It's any consumption of cannabis in Ireland is going to be illegal. But so let's just say someone decides, I'm going to break the law and I want to consume cannabis ethically at least. Then what this person will say to themselves is, maybe I can grow it myself. If I grow some cannabis myself and I keep it quietly and I know what seeds I'm growing, so I can decide if it has a measured amount of CBD or THC. And I know I'm not supporting gangs that are involved in human trafficking, so I can do this ethically. Here's the problem. A lot of these people, they might be, no one wants to get arrested for smoking cannabis, right? But if you have, we'll say, 50 euros of cannabis on you, if you get caught, the sentence for that isn't going to be huge. But if you grow it yourself, now you have maybe 2,000 euros worth of cannabis on you and you're cultivating, and the sentence for that is huge. So most reasonable people don't want to put themselves in that situation. So that now pushes you towards dealers because you just want to have a small amount on you if you're a user. So prohibition, the fact that it's illegal, means that we've got an unsafe, unethical product and it's caused by prohibition. Here's what I'd like to see.
Yeah.
Fully legalize it, regulate it, like in Canada, and tax it, and then use, and you're not only creating an industry with huge employment, use the taxes to fund our mental health services.
I think it's really interesting listening to you, because a lot of people, I think, would have the reaction when they see that. People who aren't maybe emotionally invested in the campaign one way or the other, and they probably fall into a category. I fall into this category where I don't smoke cannabis, but I have smoked cannabis. And I absolutely buy the logic that to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result is it stupidity or insanity. It's one of the two. And that criminalizing people who maybe have addiction issues or other health problems, including mental health problems, shoving them into the criminal justice system from day one seems peculiarly unkind. But they'll read this headline and they'll think, oh God, maybe there's a good reason that we don't allow cannabis in Ireland. And just listening to you, counterintuitively, you're saying, well, actually, because of this headline and because of the content of this report, is the reason we should have legalized and regulated cannabis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, too, to remember with adults and cannabis use, a lot of this refers to people who are abusing cannabis. All right. It's not necessarily referring to people who are occasionally using. Now, any substance can be abused. My attitude with any substance from a mental health perspective, just for myself, I always assess my personal relationship with a substance. So let's just take alcohol, for instance. I love having a couple of cans at the weekend. I have a healthy relationship with a couple of cans of drink at the weekend. I find it enjoyable. I put up with the hangover on a Sunday. It's fine. However, since the pandemic, when I drink cans at the weekend, it actually makes me feel a bit more upset and depressed. So now I practically don't drink anymore. What I've done there is I've used my emotional awareness to change my relationship with a substance. So now I don't drink anymore. People who abuse substances, now that could be anything, alcohol, cannabis, video games, gambling. Often people who abuse a substance, they're actually engaging in a type of self-medication. They're self-medicating for something. So wouldn't it be better if they didn't have to, because the services for either addiction or mental health were stronger and more robust? Do you get me?
Yeah, I do. And you know then as well what I'm about to say, because it's they're the age-old counter-arguments that people make, which is about slippery slopes and tacit permission if one drug is legalized. And I know you're going to say there's plenty of drugs that are legalized. You mentioned alcohol already and tobacco and other things we legalize.
I'd say take a look at Portugal, Kieran. Portugal in 2001 decriminalized all drugs, and they moved their drugs model from a criminal one to a health-based one. So in Portugal, all drug use is decriminalized. I think dealing is still criminalized, and it's opened up a lot of funding for mental health. They saw a huge reduction in deaths, and they're, after 20 years of it, much for the better than they were when they were operating on a criminal model. Drugs aren't going to go away, but drug abuse, it's people self-medicating. Get at that. Why are people self-medicating? What can we do about that?
It's funny you say about drugs not going away. Are there still too many people in your mind, you know, who inform this debate and are part of the debate, who think that we can get rid of them, that drugs will go away eventually? I mean, there was a lot of pushback to injection centres and everything, despite the fact that in other countries the experience was overwhelmingly positive with supervised injection centres. I visited some myself in Rotterdam a few years ago, and when they've been suggested here, that there has been pushback, as you'd imagine, that there are too many people who still think, you know, you can win the war on drugs.
Yeah, and I think these people aren't engaging in critical thinking. They're fearful of change. A lot of our prohibition attitudes, even in Ireland, they are kind of dictated by America. And if you look at the history of prohibition in America, it's very much tied in with the prison industrial complex and with racism. Like New York State, I think when Joe Biden got elected, New York State also voted to legalize recreational cannabis in New York State. Now, what they're also after doing in the past month is, now that recreational cannabis is legal in New York State, they're going to take a huge chunk of those profits and reinvest them into the communities that were most marginalized by prohibition. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we when I see pro-prohibition arguments, I often think it's a lack of critical thinking and a fear of change. And we need to look at countries like Portugal, who have decriminalized since 2001. Seattle have now decriminalized all drugs as well a couple of months ago. And then look at the legal market for just cannabis, recreational market in a lot of America and in Canada. Look at what's happening there, the tax revenue that's being created, the jobs that are being created. And I do think it's going to happen here in Ireland too. But because the thing is, people think, do we need a referendum to legalize cannabis? We don't. We just need the political will. Sure, Jesus, in 2015, remember the government accidentally legalized ketamine and cocaine by accident for a day. But like, that's what you need to kind of look at. And unfortunately, if you were to ask me, how do I see cannabis getting legalized in Ireland? I reckon what will happen is cannabis will get legalized at a federal level in America soon. I think a big giant corporation, Cannabis Corporation, is going to come to Dublin and they're going to say, what's the crack, Dublin? I heard that if we come to Ireland, we don't have to pay any tax at all, like Google and Facebook. And the Irish government are going to say, yeah, that's our favorite thing to do, to help multinational corporations dodge tax. Come here to Dublin and we'll legalize cannabis. That's how I think it's going to happen. And if you look as well, there was reports in the Sunday Business Post did it last week, looking at there's already cannabis lobbying happening, corporate cannabis lobbying from a tobacco company happening in Ireland for this same purpose. A journalist called Eva Short is reporting on it.
There's lots of different organisations and bodies who monitor drug use in Ireland. There's European-wide monitoring, mm-hmm. the European Monitoring Centre for Drugs that look at every country. I think the University of Liverpool did a big study in Ireland a couple of years ago that looked at drug use over a 10-year span. There's our own internal bodies that look at it. And there's similar trends in all of them about increased drug use over the last 10, 15 years. And mm-hmm. cannabis gets mentioned in ecstasy and benzos quite a lot as well. And just to kind of explore something you've mentioned a couple of times, that people who are abusing these drugs, that they're self-medicating, and you've got to ask yourself why they're self-medicating. If we accept that logic, then more and more people over the last 10, 15 years are self-medicating in Ireland. So forget the drugs they're using to self-medicate. Yeah. Why do you think they're doing it?
Well, there's a number of things there. Like if first off, drugs are going a little bit cheaper. The dark web is involved. People are getting drugs like literally sent in the post. One thing that's happened with the drugs market in general is mobile phones have made a difference. When I was growing up, if someone wanted drugs, you needed to know someone who was willing to go somewhere, or you had dealers on the streets. Now, a lot of drugs is being done via WhatsApp with couriers. So technology has changed that. It's made it a bit more accessible. Regarding like the mental health crisis has been steadily increasing for the past 20 years. I was in college in the late 2000s and I had access to therapy in college. For some reason, this would have been at the end of the Celtic Tiger. There wasn't a huge queue. I had access to services. If someone in their 20s now wants to access mental health services, they're put on a huge, huge queue. Something really isn't wrong. So young people don't have access to mental health services, coupled with the fact that there's the existential threat of not being able to pay rent and never being able to own property. These are new stressors that exist that are exacerbating people's mental health, and they're denying people access to meaning, to a sense of meaning and purpose. If you can't feel like you're going to earn property, or if you can't feel like you can pay your rent, or if you can't feel that if you're in trouble, that you can't speak to a person who's a professional, or you might have to wait 6 months, you're going to have great difficulty there experiencing meaning and happiness. So why would you not self-medicate, you know?
Yeah, listen, Blind Boy, a really interesting conversation. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Kieran.